Guardians, Crystal Keepers, Gym Lovers, and Rock Hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you. Whether you're here to connect with the Crystal Kingdom, or discover what your rocks are about, or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples, I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. Well, I hope everyone is doing wonderful today, and I think it's going to be, you know, with a little bit of sadness that we kind of bid summer adieu here coming up shortly as the fall season is upon us. And with that, today marks our final installment of our summer gridding season, where we've been sharing a different crystal grid every month. And today's grids that we're going to talk about are for protection. Okay, and that can be any kind of thing that you feel needs to be protected. Your crystals can help you in that way if we program them with our intention that is what we would like them to, that's the way we'd like to work with them. Okay, and, you know, so let's talk about, first of all, this idea of protection. You know, we're not trying to make people paranoid or anything, or, you know, if you're not worried, then don't worry, right? However, we still can do things as preventative measures without having a lot of fear or worry involved, right? So, you know, for example, you know, if you live in a bad neighborhood, you know, or you live in an apartment building where, you know, your one of your neighbors had their you know, apartment broken into or their car broken into or something like that, it doesn't hurt to not be paranoid, but, you know, make sure you lock your car, make sure you lock your door, right? Just in case, you know, why give somebody an advantage by not doing those things? And that's kind of the way I look at protection grids as well. It's kind of just kind of a common, maybe it's not so common, but to me it's kind of a common sense attitude that I have about it. It's like, well, why wouldn't I have a protection grid in my house, you know? Why wouldn't I, you know, go ahead and set it up for, you know, something that, you know, I don't want to happen, you know? And it doesn't take a lot of space, and it's really interesting. We have a lot of leeway when it comes to what kind of design we want our protection grid to be in. And, you know, there's really no rules for this. As you know, I'm not a big into rules when it comes to working with crystals. I feel like, you know, using your intuition and working with things that resonate with you personally is what makes things the most effective. And so with that idea, you know, I'd like everybody to, you know, when you think about making a protection grid, think about, you know, for the design of it, what kind of symbols represent the idea of protection or safety to you, you know. That could be a shield, and you could place crystals in the shape of a shield, okay. You could just use a circle, make it like a sacred circle with your crystals. And you can also, say you want to protect your house or say you want to protect your car. If you're going to do something like a shield or a circle type of protection grid with the thought in mind that it's protecting your house or protecting your car, why not take a picture of your house or your car and put it in the center of the grid? Instead of having like a major crystal, like a big quartz piece or selenite piece in the center, why not put a picture? And you can put crystals on top of that, okay? So we have, you know, something simple like that. You could make a pentagram. You could make a pentacle, you know, a pentagram with a circle around it. You could use a specific rune symbol that symbolizes protection to you. And what's interesting, if you put crystals in the shape of a rune, you know, there's different runes that symbolize protection of different things. You know, like if you're worried about something like, that's a good example, like hail damage, right? You know, that's something that's kind of funny because where I live here in the Texas Panhandle, a couple years ago, we had almost every single house in this town. The majority of houses and businesses suffered a lot of damage and, from hail and had to have their roofs replaced, which, of course, you know, as long as you have insurance, you know, it's still a tedious process, you know. And there were roofing companies and signs all over, like, every neighborhood. It was really kind of bizarre. But anyways, you know, I just thought of hail in particular. You could use the rune Hagalaz, which actually, you know, is supposed, it looks like an H, and it represents hail, and it protects against, you know, all sorts of attacks and misfortunes. So that would be a good one if you just took crystals, and you could do that with even tumbled pieces of crystals, actually, just put them in the shape of that. Now, the thing that's interesting to me about working with the idea of protective symbols with crystals is you don't necessarily have to, you can use tumbled stones pretty easily. You can always use tumbled stones if you want to. A lot of times we want to point the energy either inward or outward. So we use like crystal points or either single terminated or double terminated points for that. But if you're going to just arrange the crystals so they look like a symbol to you, you can use any kind of stones you want, you know, whether they're tumbled or rough or, you know, crystal points. And if you're not so much into runes, you know, you could also work with sigils, you know, angelic sigils, Wiccan sigils, whatever is in line with your belief system. You could use a cross, you know, if you wanted to use that as a protective symbol and that's meaningful for you, do it in the shape of a Christian cross, whichever version of the cross that means something to you. And also, you could also use, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's so many different protective symbols. You could, the Eye of Horus, you know, you could go Egyptian with it. So when you think about it, or it could even be, you know, like the lucky hand or the hand of Fatima, any of the things that you think about when you think about talismans and amulets that you might use or that you might buy that are supposed to represent a type of protection, you can make that design with your crystals as well. Or you could even print off a picture of one of these things and put crystals on it to amplify the energy of it. So, you know, it's sort of limitless, right? You know, it's absolutely limitless when we talk about making a crystal grid for protection. And so I think, you know, more importantly, maybe let's talk about what stones we might want to use in our crystal grid for protection. So let's look at some stones that actually have more of a quality inherent in them. Okay, and these could be for all different kinds of things, you know. So one is, okay, if you're protecting your house, you're protecting your car, you know, a general protective stone is fine. But say that you have an important speech to give and you want to make sure that absolutely nothing goes wrong, then you might want to work with some blue stones, right? You could work with kyanite. Kyanite has a very protective energy, and if you get blue kyanite, that is going to help you during your speech as well as, you know, make sure nothing kind of goes wrong. Or say you have an important paper to write, you know, one of the stones we discussed earlier, I think it was either this year or last year, was the calligraphy stone or elephant skin jasper, as it's sometimes called, even though it's not even a jasper. But that is it's got a lot of names, Arabic stone, Miriam stone, they're really gorgeous stones. But those are great for, they have a protective quality to them, and they're also helpful when it comes to writing. So if you have an important paper that you have to write or an article that you're writing or something, and you want to make sure like nothing goes wrong with it, you could make a little grid using those stones. Today's featured stone that we're going to talk about a little bit later is terminated quartz, and that is quartz that has little pieces of black tourmaline included in it. And tourmaline is very protective, and quartz can be programmed to do that as well. And the great thing about something like terminated quartz is that's a great, you're worried about something like psychic attack, okay? And you might say, what? Psychic attack, is that when a psychic punches you? No, that's not what I mean. psychic attack is actually, it's like somebody like wishing you badly. It's like somebody thinking really negatively about you and kind of to the point where, obviously, it's not something you can necessarily see happening, but you might feel the effects of it happening, you know. Psychic attack is really kind of an interesting thing. You know, I think that a lot of people that work with crystals and that would consider themselves light workers, for some reason, the light seems to attract the darkness, is how we say it, you know. And what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, people resent the fact that you have found, like, you know, your spiritual calling, or that you feel, really good. You know, sadly enough, you know, we live in a kind of a complicated world. You know, on one hand, it's so simple, and on the other hand, you know, it's complicated. And I love that quote from Jean-Paul Sartre's play, No Exit. Hell is other people, right? You know, it's like we don't need, you know, devils with a pitchfork and fire and brimstone. You know, we can really drive each other crazy. We're pretty good at that, you know. And one of the things that does happen when somebody finds their spiritual path and is pretty happy and feeling good about things, is that other people will kind of begrudge your happiness. They will begrudge your having a spiritual path or foundation, or, you know, being positive, right? It is strange. And, you know, so sometimes you can get a lot of negativity thrown towards you, you know. And, you know, on one level, if it's something that, you know, you confront in person, you know, yeah, you deal with it. You take it, you maybe, you know, let it roll off your back like a duck does, right? What is that saying? I don't know. I'm mixing up my metaphors. Something about it, water off a duck's back, you know, it just sort of rolls back. I don't know. I'm going to just drop that, but I hope you know what I mean. But basically, you know, you don't let it get to you. You have to develop a little bit of a thick skin, right? You know, not all of us are so great at doing that, you know, of how we act in the moment, how we deal with negativity in the moment. That doesn't mean that it's not doing a job on us on a subconscious or unconscious, something we're not conscious of level. You know, those little, you know, snarky little comments and barbs and rudeness and stuff, you know, they can kind of get to us, even if we don't want to acknowledge that all the time. So that's just kind of one way, or some reasons why psychic attack does happen. Now, you know, there are some interesting things about that, you know, meaning that, you know, you can actually not even realize that that's what's going on. Like, you may have someone in your life that maybe, you know, you kind of get along with, or you kind of know, but and you don't even realize like there's an issue that this person has with you until, you know, you just start feeling kind of, and you could feel drained, like, you know, you could have an energy vampire in your life that is draining your energy. You could have a run of bad luck, you know, meaning that, you know, just sort of like, you know, things just kind of seem to be going wrong all of a sudden, you know. You could actually feel like physical pain. You could feel, you know, kind of sick or under the weather without really a good reason to feel that way. Oh, there it is. Jason corrected, gave the right metaphor there. Let things roll like water off the duck's back. Exactly. But, you know, there's all these things. Like, if you don't have a rational, you know, or an easy explanation to why you're not feeling so good, you know, maybe you're just in a bad mood, but you can't really figure out why, you know. Maybe you just feel kind of nauseous, but it's not anything you ate. You're not pregnant. You're not, you know, you don't have the flu or anything. I mean, this could manifest in so many different ways, you know, and it could be, you know, symptoms of being psychically attacked, you know. There could be somebody in your, you know how we have hundreds, a lot of people have hundreds and hundreds, sometimes even thousands of Facebook friends, okay? And you don't necessarily know all these people, you know. You're just posting away about your life, what you had for dinner, showing puppy pictures of your puppy dogs and whatever. And you may not realize that somebody in that big list of friends, somebody who's actually connected to you in that way, might be jealous, might resent you, might just not be like a very cool person, you know. And they could be sending negative energy your way. You know, they could be thinking negative thoughts about you. I hope she chokes on that lasagna. She just posted it. You know, she thinks she's so smart, or who does he think he is? You know, you don't know what's going on in the minds of other people, right? So, I mean, it's a good idea to then have something that, you know, makes you, you know, kind of feel like you are doing something to ward off any sort of thing like that might come your way, you know, because we can't know what all is going on out there, right? And I'm not trying to make people paranoid about their about their Facebook friends or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, generally we connect on social media with a lot of people that we don't necessarily know. So you could actually, with that intention, you could make your psychic grid not just for psychic attacks in general, but also for your social media. You know, you could make it in, you know, you could make a little FB, you know, an F and a B for Facebook. Line up a, you know, a little small grid of crystals, make a little F and a B out of tumbled pieces of crystals. And if you use terminated quartz, that would be great because it repels negativity. And just, you know, program it with that intention that, you know, this is to ward off any negativity coming from my connections on Facebook. Or you could do one just in general for social media. It doesn't really matter. I mean, there's the different ways in which you could do this are, you know, it's limitless. And it's really just up to you for what actually makes sense to you, what resonates with you, and what you feel, you know, really, really connected to doing. You know, so let's talk about some other stones that we could be using for our grids for protection. Amber is a great stone, although really it's a fossil resin, but it's got a wonderful protective quality to it. Aqua Aura Quartz is another one. Apache Tears. Let's see. We talked about kyanite, black tourmaline, black obsidian as well. Bornite, which is also known as peacock ore, is another great one. Labradorite, rutilated quartz, is another great stone. Dalmatian jasper, fire agate. malachite, moldavite, pneumite, peridot, amethyst is wonderful. And, you know, basically you're going to find that, you know, tons and tons of different crystals have very great protective qualities. Shungite is another wonderful one, as well as turquoise and sugarlite. Smoky quartz is an excellent one. Even a smoky celestial quartz would work as well. Spirit quartz is really good. Rainbow moonstone, rubies, rainbow fluorite. You know, a lot of different stones to choose from. And I would say that, you know, with that, when you think of all these different colors that are involved in all these different stones that have these protective qualities to them, then, you know, if you're doing a grid to, you know, like I always like to relate things to just the seven main chakras, is that, you know, if it's something connected to a speaking engagement or something, you want to use blue stones. If it's connected to home or security or something, you maybe want to use red stones. You know, if things that are connected to those different chakras, you know, if you want to protect, you know, the things you love, you could use pink or green stones. And with that, throw in maybe some rutilated quartz, some other plain quartz pieces, some terminated quartz, and really kind of, you know, can make shields out of it. You can use photographs of the thing that you want to surround with protection. And, you know, ultimately, I think the most important thing is to spend some time with this protection grid. You know, like, it only takes a couple minutes. You know, I don't know how many of you when you were little kids, you know, would say that little prayer, you know, if you were raised in a you know, American Christian household, you know, is something like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I always found that so morbid, right? But also, you know, I understood it as something that you do before you go to bed at night because it protects you should you not wake up, I guess, right? Should you die in your sleep. You know, which, you know, generally, you know, there really wasn't too great of a risk of that for most people. But that became a kind of a commonplace kind of habit that kids would get into when they were really little, you know. And so the thing that's kind of interesting to me about that is that I think that we could take that idea and actually think like, okay, you know, either like before we go to bed at night or in the morning, you know, we can spend some time with our little protective grid. And we don't have to say a prayer. We don't have to say anything out loud. We could meditate with it, but we could just sit there and focus our thoughts on what it is that we want it to protect. We can focus our energy on that. And just like you would working with angels, I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's just a personal thing. I like to thank my stones for doing this. When I make a grid, you know, it's just like, you know, acknowledging that, you know, there's an appreciation there for them, you know, working with me in the way that I'm asking them to. So that's just something to think about. I think it's, you know, I'm not real, real big on rituals, right? A lot of people are, and I understand it. I just kind of got, you know, my fill of rituals at very, very early in life. And so to me, I like things to be a little bit looser, but I do think that there is power in words and that there are words of power. And I think that if you make your own prayer or your own affirmation, I think that that does make a difference. You know, at least I've noticed that it seems to make a difference when I kind of, you know, make up my own, you know, I guess, yeah, a little ritual, I'll use the word. And even if that's something as simple as something that you're going to say. And, you know, I would say, and this is a strange thing too, and again, you know, it's like maybe a personal preference more than anything, but I would say try making up little rhymes, okay? Because there seems to be something about that. When we're working with crystals, when we're working with energy, there's something about using like words that, you know, have a certain rhythm to them, okay? So I would say, you know, make up your own thing that's going to be meaningful to you. But, you know, yeah, take a few minutes, you know, before you go to sleep, you know, like you would when you were a little kid. And instead of, you know, saying that that old-timey little prayer, you know, make up a little affirmation that you say as you stand in front of your grid that you've created for protection. You know, if you want to protect your house at night before you go to sleep, you know, and you've made a little grid to do that, you know, go over there, spend a few minutes, and even if you don't want to make up a little affirmation or say anything out loud, that's fine. Just sit there and meditate and focus your intention into the grid. I would say, you know, at least spend 5 minutes a day with your grid, you know. These aren't things that you necessarily want to, like, and then forget about them. You don't want to, like, constantly be, you know, doting over them or focusing on them either. But I think it is important. It's sort of like renewing a vow, like, kind of in a sense, you know. But we're renewing our intention, you know. And I think that it empowers it more. I think, you know, every time we do that, every time we spend time with a grid that we've made for a specific purpose, it's like we're refueling it, you know. We're refueling it with our energy because we're putting our energy and our focus into it. We're connecting with it, you know, and I would say, you know, get close to it. You don't have to touch the stones necessarily, but I would say be within, you know, a foot of the grid so that at least, you know, your auric field is penetrating it, because I think that that helps push our intention more into it. Yeah. So I don't, you know, I don't know if I went off the reservation here with some of these wild and crazy ideas, but you know, this is just what I have found working with the stones to be an effective way to work with them. Also, you know, not only working with these grids with tumbled stones and with point, you know, crystal points and raw pieces, but I think clusters are especially wonderful. When working with grids for protection. So, you know, a cluster is, well, I have one right here, and I'm like, how do I describe this? You know, it's pretty much a raw piece. It's got several points on it. Like I've got a nice amethyst cluster here that I love to use for a lot of different things. I'll place stones on it. I'll use it to cleanse them and kind of, you know, revitalize them. I will also use it in a grid. I also have an apophyllite cluster and a celestite cluster as well. And these are all great stones to work with in protection grids too. You know, I think that not only do we want to work with stones that have an inherent protective quality to it, but also, now this is kind of an interesting thing, and it kind of connects to the idea of using, you know, those different symbols and shapes that represent the idea of protection to us. But I think that, you know, if we also go a little further out and think about, you know, when, you know, what I guess a good example is like, it's a Catholic one, right? I have an aunt that's Catholic, and she's always had a St. Christopher medal in her car because And the Catholics have a whole array of saints that, protect against this and protect against that. And, it's just like a whole, whole big, huge group of these people. And so people will, either pray or invoke or petition a saint for protection of a specific thing. And I've seen people do that with angels as well. It's like, okay, well, this angel, for example, Archangel Raphael, connected to health, so people will call upon Raphael. It's like, please, can you help me, and protect my, my health. So you can do that too, because there's also, and this is kind of interesting, the idea of angels and saints and ascended masters and gods and goddesses and demigods and different spiritual leaders from the past being connected to particular crystals. So that's something else to think about, because not only do you want to use stones that are going to have an inherent protective quality to them, but you might also want to invoke a specific spiritual energy or being into your grid, into this intention of protecting a specific thing. And with angels in particular, there are certain angels that are associated with certain stones. So if you want to use, say, Archangel Ariel to also help with this, protection of whatever it is. Rose quartz is a stone associated with Archangel Ariel. Archangel Gabriel is associated with copper. Haniel associated with moonstone, Metatron associated with watermelon, Tourmaline, Archangel Michael, who so many people ask and petition for his protection for all sorts of things, is associated with sugarlight. And Archangel Raphael is associated with emerald or malachite, Raziel with clear quartz, Sandalphon with turquoise, Uriel with amber, Zadkiel with lapis lazuli. Did I leave anybody else out? Archangel Camuel associated with fluorite, and Jophiel associated with rubellite or pink tourmaline. So those are just some other things. So you might want to add like some of those stones that are connected with specific spiritual beings that you would like to invoke as well in order to help protect against whatever you're creating your crystal grid for. And it doesn't, it doesn't just have to be archangels. There's the ascended masters like the red jasper. Is a stone associated with El Moria. And there, it's just the list goes on. And you should be able to find those associations, pretty easily online, in books. If there's a specific like ascended master or archangel or someone that you want to know what stone is connected to, email me and I will look it up for you if you cannot find it. And actually, that's something that I was going to talk about on next week's show, is invoking spiritual beings and ascended masters using crystals. So actually we'll get into a lot more of that. But I thought, that really does tie in today with the idea of protection grids, because so many people do ask, Jesus or Archangel Michael or, a bunch of people, right? The list is sort of endless of saints or spiritual beings that people invoke to ask for protection for certain things. But we'll get into that more next week. So basically, to make your protection grid, first decide on what the design is going to be. If you want to make it really elaborate or if you want to make it really simple, it's totally up to you. Either way, it's going to be effective because you're working with your intention with it. And use stones of a protective quality. But look, you know, you don't have to spend an arm and a leg and, you know, to buy like the most protective energy stone out there. The easiest thing to do ever is really to, you know, make it out of little quartz points or tumbled quartz pieces, because it's the most inexpensive type of stone probably that is and most readily available, and it's highly programmable. So you could always just use plain quartz and program it to protect against whatever it is that you want, you know, whether it's protecting your house or your family or your dog or your car, whatever it is. So you have a lot of leeway. This is really easy to do. And I would say, you know, 5 minutes a day, you know, at the least, would be, you know, really kind of a easy way to like kind of keep refueling the energy of it and keep, you know, with your intention basically. And I think that it's a good kind of, you know, kind of positive practice to develop as well. You know, when you think about it, 5 minutes isn't very long, you know. I talk to people all the time about meditation and, you know, I'm like, even if you could just do it for 5 minutes a day, or even exercise, if you could just exercise for 5 minutes a day. And it's surprising to me how many people are like, I don't have 5 minutes. And it's like, okay, but you just spent like 2 hours on Facebook, right? Okay, but you don't have 5 minutes to do something that could be potentially be beneficial to you. So something to think about, you know, how we manage our time. Anyways, okay, we're going to take a short pause for the cause here and listen to some messages from our wonderful network. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about this week's crystal guest, terminated quartz. So everybody stay tuned and we will be right back.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. Psychicsatattune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at marynail@attunemagazine.com.
www.theresarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that, because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.theresarockforthat.com.
Welcome to Attune Magazine Radio.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. All right, so we are now going to talk about this week's crystal guest, terminated quartz. And if you are listening online on your computer and you see the little slideshow on the page there, you'll see couple of pictures of terminated quartz of it that I have, and you can see how It's really such a fascinating stone to look at because it has those little black threads of tourmaline inside the quartz, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of magical and mysterious to me, you know, because it's a lot like rutilated quartz, where it's one of the stones, and hollandite that we talked about on the earlier episode, where it's so cool to, you know, look at through like a jeweler's loop or, you know, under light and look at the stuff inside of the piece of quartz. It can be kind of mesmerizing in a way. I've spent a lot of time doing that. But what is it? You know, so it's quartz that has tourmaline included in it, and sometimes people will call it tourmaline included quartz. It means the same thing. And so metaphysically, you know, it combines the qualities of quartz and tourmaline. So if you want like kind of an extended idea of like what all this could be doing, you know, kind of look at the properties of both of those stones and add it together. But on its own as tourmalinated quartz, it's really said to produce a great problem-solving atmosphere, you know. So say, you know, you've got an unsolvable problem or seemingly unsolvable problem or something that, you know, you just can't quite figure out. Tourmalinated quartz and hold it if you're in your non-dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, hold it in your left hand, or if you're left-handed, hold it in your right hand. And just kind of rub it and hold it and keep it with you, you know, keep it in your pocket. Just kind of keep it on you or around you while you're trying to figure out whatever problem it is you're trying to figure out, because I think that it can be very helpful in that way. It can also be used to assist when it comes to, you know, eliminating many of the sort of patterns that may be destructive that we have kind of maybe gotten into on a daily basis. You know, it's like sometimes we get into bad habits. Sometimes we have like these sort of routines that become so crystallized. We do the same thing that we kind of sleepwalk through it, and it's not, you know, in some ways it's kind of holding us back. It's like we need to kind of break out of that pattern. And we have those different moments in our life where we realize we're like kind of in a bit of a rut. And tourmalinated quartz can be very good for helping us to kind of break through. And kind of, because, you know, what happens is that it's a great stone for kind of adjusting sort of imbalances that we have in our energy body. And the thing that makes it really work with the idea of breaking like bad patterns or bad habits that we've gotten into is that a lot of times we can't see our way out of it. It's like we're on the hamster wheel, right? And we're just going along. And the more that we just keep spinning that wheel, the more we get sort of off balance because we're not paying attention to other aspects of our life or of our being. You know, it's really easy to get totally focused on work all the time and totally forget about our health. I mean, I know a lot of people that, you know, they don't even take a lunch break, you know, or if they do, they eat standing up. You know, or eat while they're still working at their desk, you know, so they're not paying attention to their health. They don't go outside and get some fresh air. They don't drink enough water because they're so focused on something else that they're starting to ignore their body. You know, that happens a lot in our society, you know, more than I think most people realize. And so tourmaline, you know, again, you know, can help, you know, help us right those imbalances, help us break out of the negative patterns that we get into. And, you know, there's this kind of interesting kind of thing where it helps us kind of when we're in situations because it has this quality of repelling negativity, you know, so that we don't really have to deal so much with a lot of drama. Okay. Kind of like when I was talking about earlier about the idea of psychic attack, you know. Mostly, you know, that's coming from like a lot of drama, right? And hopefully, you know, I guess, you know, we don't have to deal with it too much and we don't have to engage in it too much. Like, you know, I guess social media is another, I keep coming back to that, you know, because I think everybody's on social media right now. And I think that, you know, there's so much negativity that happens online. There's so much wonderful connectivity that happens too, you know, but there's a lot of disconnects as well. And especially, you know, sometimes you know you can't control what you necessarily see on your news feed or news streams on social media, right? So what I've noticed is people getting really upset over things that people will post because they disagree with them, you know, whether it's a political thing or a religious thing or a, you know, their feeling about science or global warming or whatever. People would get really nasty and just, you know, go after each other, you know. And the thing that is great about social media, especially, you know, when it's just stuff you happen to come across that you see other people in your news feed posting, is that you have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity to not engage, to not get drawn into it. Because a lot of people are just trying to start flame wars with the things that they post. They want a reaction. They're baiting everybody, you know. And you have this wonderful, incredibly amazing power to not engage, you know. And the thing that's great about terminated quartz is that it helps you to see that pretty easily. Because I think that, you know, we all have our buttons that can easily be pushed. You know, the thing is like we don't have to always allow that to happen, you know. Because once our button gets pushed and we just type out whatever response to whatever post we've seen, once we do that, then, you know, it's just fueling, you know, it's just fanning the flames, right? Of the fire that the person is supposedly trying to start. So it's just, you know, something to think about, you know, another interesting way in which terminated quartz can help us to solve problems and to repel negativity, because it has a calming aspect to it as well, where it's like you don't feel like you have to engage, right? By this idea of repelling negativity, you know, it's this idea of like turning negative thoughts and energy into positive ones, you know. It is something that has a very kind of harmonizing quality in that way. It balances, you know, we talked about it working with imbalances, and it also balances the yin and yang energies, you know, helps harmonize opposites and polarities. Psychologically, you know, it can help to integrate and heal the shadow energies so that we're not sabotaging ourselves, right? On a physical level, it's actually, you know, been used to help with detoxifying the body and also treating disorders of the digestive tract, you know. And again, you know, let me give out my usual disclaimers, you know, when I'm talking about working with stones for physical healing, you know, I do recommend that you use stones as like complementary medicine, meaning that you seek out the advice first of the appropriate licensed medical professional, and then work with the stones that are going to help either speed up the healing process or to make things easier for you to deal with, okay? So you don't want to replace, you know, a doctor's visit with a crystal, okay? Because, you know, proper diagnosis is always going to be, you know, your best friend first in dealing with any physical health issue. No, but it's so, you know, that being said, you know, anything where you feel like you need to sort of detox, you know, so like if you're taking, you know, a lot of people different, you know, whether they do a colon cleanse or in you know, different ways that they detox, they drink certain herbs or, you know, teas and juices and stuff. It wouldn't hurt to also have a piece of terminated quartz with you as well. It also can help, you know, not just on the physical level, but also, you know, on the energetic level of our energy body, our auric field. It can be very helpful for, you know, protecting our aura from negativity, because the tourmaline works in that way. While the quartz amplifies the energy that is focused through it. So, you know, it makes terminated quartz a powerful kind of shield stone, right? You can kind of think of using it sort of like a mirror, you know, to kind of shield you and kind of, so whatever negativity is coming towards you or might invade your auric field, it's going to bounce off and redirect the other way. You can think of those little strands of black tourmaline that you see in the quartz as arrows or needles, and just see them shooting it back, you know, without, you know, causing harm, but just kind of shielding you and like sending back anything that's coming towards you. It's kind of an interesting thing there when you think about it. But, you know, it really is kind of an amazing stone, and it's not that expensive. You can get tumble pieces. I think the pictures of the ones that I have there, I think, you know, those little pieces of terminated quartz I got for like $1.50 or something at a metaphysical store in California, you know, where things are more expensive. So even there, it wasn't very expensive. And I think that they're, you know, not that difficult to find either. And when it comes to, you know, relating it to the chakra system, the stone is actually thought also to be related to both the base or root chakra and the earth star chakra, as well as the crown chakra, because the black tourmaline itself is related to, you know, the root chakra and earth star chakra, like a lot of our black stones are. And then the quartz property of it is related to the crown chakra. Of course, quartz can be used on any chakra. So that's, you know, if you're going to use it in a chakra layout or for healing in that way, that might be, you know, some things to consider. All three of those chakras is where it can be used. And then not only, you know, protecting yourself and protecting your auric field and your energy body, but it's also a great environmental cleanser in the sense that, you know, if you want to help transmute any negativity to positivity within, say, your house or your special room that you're in or your office, terminated quartz is a great stone to have around for that. And I think that, you know, especially if you have, say, an office job, it would be a great stone to like just kind of have on the corner of your desk or have in the drawer of your desk or near your computer. Because also black tourmaline is wonderfully protective when it comes to dealing with EMF radiation, okay? So that's another way in which it can be used, you know, to have a protective kind of quality to it. You know, there's all different kinds of ways you can work with it. You know, you can work with it, rather. You can meditate with it. you can just carry it around. You can wear it in jewelry. I think you can find some pieces of jewelry out there that aren't that expensive, or make your own if you are so inclined. And because it has quartz in it, it is also programmable, you know. So that would be a great one. Like if you could just get a little tiny piece of terminated quartz and program it to protect you from psychic attack and negative energy in all its forms, and then just carry it around with you, you know. And what's interesting is this idea that, you know, terminated quartz will amplify whatever it is that you program the stone with it. And it has a sort of enhancement kind of quality that makes it very, you know, very powerfully protective stone in that way. So, and then also, you know, you don't have to just work with that. You know, it's great to combine stones a lot of times. I would think especially if you wanted to make a piece of jewelry, you know, because we talked about doing a psychic grid for protection. Well, you could make a little piece of jewelry for protection too, kind of like an amulet. And you might use terminated quartz with that and maybe add some smoky quartz or amethyst to it, or even citrine would be another wonderful stone to add to it as well. I mean, there's just kind of no, you know, limits on the different ways in which you can make this work. So, trying to think, there was one other thing I wanted to mention about terminated quartz. I feel like I've been talking about it a lot, you know. The most common source of it is Brazil. And it's kind of interesting, you know. I have maybe, I don't know, eight different books on crystals, eight different sources, well, more than that, but, you know, just on just basic source books. And they all have different astralines associated with terminated quartz. And then one of them, it kind of made me laugh, you know, it said, you know, astrological associations, all of them. Because I thought, oh, you read all those same books I did before you wrote yours and said, I don't know, it's all of them. So so that's another thing to think of, you know, because I've had that question come up a lot recently, I guess, it was about three different people asked me about astrological associations with crystals, and I did that show on it, but I don't think any, you know, they must not have heard that show or listened. But this seemed to be something that, I don't know if it's a recent thing, this people seem to be concerned about. It's like, well, I'm an Aries, so can I wear the stone? It's, you know, and look, in my opinion, you can wear any stone that you want to. So don't let that stop you, because you may be, and, you know, your sun may be an Aries, but, you know, you might have something else going on in Pisces that, you know, makes the stone even more appropriate, you know, if you're using those astrological associations. Because I think that's the thing that's sort of missing from these astrological associations that we see with stones, is that they'll just say, like, oh, this stone is associated with Gemini. But they don't go any further than that to say, like, well, okay, so does that mean I have to have my sun in Gemini? What if I'm a Gemini moon, you know? Will that give it a different sort of effect? You know, I haven't really found anyone who's really too much depth except just making those associations, which, you know, are very, very old, even though, you know, that list of stones, if you listen to the episode with Judy Hall, we talked about, you know, how those associations coming from the foundation stones of the Bible and the high priest breastplate, and then the jewelry industry, how it's evolved over time, the idea of zodiac stones and birthstones, and how much variety there is in lists and lists and lists from different eras and different cultures. about which stones are associated with which signs or which months of the year. So, you know, my feeling is, don't worry about it. Throw all that out because, no, but, you know, there isn't really a definitive list of those things. And then, you know, when we look at some of the very specific things that terminated quartz is really helpful with, you know, because we talked about a lot of general things. I think, you know, if anybody's had, like, okay, negative behavior issues later in life as an adult, in your adult life, that maybe originated in a childhood experience, okay, because that happens a lot. Terminated quartz is the stone I would recommend for that. Okay. Because, again, you know, it kind of goes back to that idea of it being great for problem solving. You know, also good for the nervous system on the emotional level, helpful with depression and fear. And I think a lot of times things manifest in our adult life that really originated back in our childhood, in the childhood experience that we may have had. Maybe we had a, you know, it doesn't even have to be like a horribly abusive childhood situation. It can just be, you know, sometimes, you know, one incident. It can be little things that kind of set off this sort of pattern in our life. You know, it could be something that, you know, somebody said to us, you know, that we took to heart a little too sincerely, and that affected our whole concept of ourselves. And so we develop certain behavior patterns that don't really serve us. And often what happens is, you know, we look at these things and we're like, well, that's just the way I am, you know. I've heard people offer that as the reason for doing things that make themselves miserable. It's like, yeah, I always do that. And I always, when I hear that, I always think like, well, you know, it's so simple. You can just stop doing that. You can just change your mind. And the truth is that maybe it isn't so simple. You know, maybe that really is all that it takes. But maybe we need a little bit of assistance with it, you know. Other people's problems always are much easier to solve than our own, right? Even when the solution is simple. So I think terminated quartz is a great stone to consider working with or actually gifting to someone that you know is kind of in that sort of rut. And they can't kind of, you know, make the changes that they need to make. And I don't think you even really have to, you know, go into a lot of detail about, you know, the specifics of it. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, things that terminated quartz can help us with are oftentimes very uncomfortable for people to talk about, you know. And whereas, you know, some people do prefer that, you know, talking it out, hashing everything out, going over every little detail approach, there's other people that, you know, may find that too personal or too painful to do. So I think if you just give them a gift of a tumbled piece of terminated quartz, and this is something that, you know, I'm going to say something right now that people might disagree with. I think if that's the case, that you're gifting it to someone in order to help them with an issue that they can't seem to deal with themselves, I think it's okay for you to program it to help that person, you know? And I think the thing is like, don't be very specific about the way in which it's supposed to work. Just make a general programming with your intention that it help, you know, in a way that is in the best interest and for the highest good of the person that you're gifting it to. You know, hey, some people might disagree with that. They might say, oh, no, you know, you don't program a stone for somebody else. I would never do that. Well, you know, I would. But, you know, I'm not going to try and be controlling about it and say exactly the way in which it's going to work. I'm not going to put my, you know, forceful ego into it and say, you know, this is the way it must be. But, you know, just, you know, with good intentions, with a positive intention, you know, but not being that specific about it. All right. Well, with that controversial note there, I think we are going to, I think that's pretty much all I have to say about terminated quartz today and about working with crystal grids for protection. And I hope that you all enjoyed the show, got something out of it, and I hope that you will come back next week, next Thursday, 4 p.m. here for another exciting episode of There's a Rock for That, and we're going to talk about invoking spiritual beings and saints and ascended masters using crystals. All right. I hope the rest of you have an absolutely lovely rest of your week, and I will see you all next week. Be happy, be safe, and have fun. Bye-bye.